First Timothy chapter 3.
You never go to Timothy.
This is Timothy talking about the qualification of what's called bishop in here, but it, as you know, bishop, it doesn't mean some guy wears a hat. Bishop just means that he's over more than one seder. So if there's two seders or three or six or whatever, then there's a bishop. This is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desireth a good thing or a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not giving to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So this snare of the devil, this is the first, it's only mentioned twice. And it's now, that's the general one. Now let's go to 2 Timothy 2. Verse 10. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, he will also reign with us. We will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. For if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth of erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's house, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We're taken captive at his will by his minions. His minions are our mind. So we're taken captive by him at his will. Not my will, but his will. And how are we taken captive? We're taken captive if we convince ourselves that we are remaining alive. So we're taken captive by him at his will. That's an incredible statement. Last night we studied, we have been for quite some time studying this thing about the seething blood in the temple. And I had forgotten about this thing of taken captive by him at his will. Hadn't taught on it for a long time. But it's the essence of the mystery of God. That the reason we're taken captive is because we leave faith. And once we leave faith and return to our own arm of understanding in anything, then we're taken captive by the evil one at his will. Now, I believe we lose faith when we do something that is not of faith. We lose it by all of the things that we do where we return to the flesh for our sustenance some way. All of us do it. But it's necessary here that we see and that you each come to an understanding of what this means and that there be a universal agreement of what it means. Taken captive by him, the evil one, at his will. Why would God permit that? Because that's the only way we continue with him in his test, because his test was to try to constantly put Jesus' eyes on the time and space as opposed to only the mystery of the bride. And he didn't fail. He failed after the flesh because when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, what happened? He was taken captive by the evil one. But then the evil one thought he had made. Then what happened? Then the resurrection came, and that destroyed Satan. But we are his minion, the human race. This is a minion, not of God, but of the evil one. And we're taken captive by him at his will when we leave faith. So, that's enough Bible study. That's a biggie. So please carefully consider what it says, taken captive. Well, anyway, it's the same kind of deal where you're trying to get out of being a drug addict or an alcoholic. So, but it's now a spiritual where you're taken captive by him at his will. You get drunk on the wine of Ephraim, which is your own self-seeking, self-activity, as opposed to leaving all that behind. Amen? Any response to anyone real quick or slow?
I'm looking at the first part of that. The point is that they may recover themselves. And you recover, I see that you recover by seeing that this process is in play. That
you recover by repentance.
yeah, the one that he has tried to take you captive, you understand it, and you return to faith.
I can't remember who looked it up, but that word recover is like return to sobriety, which is...
That's what I just said.
You're saying, yeah. You're saying...
You're drunk on the wine of Ephraim. Yeah. You have to return. So you're not taken captive by him, by his will. You return to faith alone. Otherwise, you're gaining sustenance from what you do. If it goes good, you think God's behind it. It's all these guys that run down the football field and they made a touchdown and they raise their hand up. Well, they should be raising their hand. If they're going to raise their hand up, they should raise it up when they lose, too, or when they fumble.
Yeah. You don't see that often.
You don't see it.
Very often.
Well, everybody knows John 3:16. Look at 1 John 3:16. Somebody go there real quick. I don't feel like it. 1 John 3:16. Instead of just John 3:16. You got it, somebody?
Yeah. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
Right. That's 1 John 3:16.
Yeah.
John 3:16 is God so loved everybody, blah, blah, blah. He loved the bride. God so loved the bride that He gave His Son. All right? And see if you can recover yourselves out of the snare of the evil one. If you're doing something not of faith, you're in the snare. You have the potential of being taken captive by the evil one at his will, not yours, not God's even, but his will. God permitted that so that it would be a true test. Amen? All right, take it, big guy. It's the shortest Bible study in history.